I am so glad that you are here, that you're not out camping. I'm sure they're having a wonderful time, but it's nice to have someone to talk to when I'm up here. So I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad that you're with us this morning. If it's your first time, welcome. My name is Elena. I am not the head pastor here. I am the pastor to the seniors, and I count it a privilege to be able to come before you this morning and share the word with you. So we're just going to jump right in. Now, as you probably know, if you've been here for these last 3 weeks, we've been doing this series on praise and different forms and expressions of praise that are found in the scriptures, and specifically different Hebrew words that are translated into the word praise in the book of Psalms. And so far, we've looked at these three different words. The first word was yada. And we learned that the connotation of this word is that you're praising with uplifted hands. It's also a praise of thanks that we give to the Lord. And it may be that for some of you, you had your very first experience of raising your hands in worship. And that was a new thing for you. And either you found it something that was really exciting and you keep doing it, or you did it the one time and that's okay. But it was something that we all got a chance to experience what it's like to lift your hands to the Lord in worship. And the second word that we studied was the word halal. And that word means to boast or to rave or to shine, to celebrate or to be clamorously foolish, to dance before the Lord. And James gave this example of King David, who danced in worship in the streets of Jerusalem. We were all encouraged to find ways to celebrate and to be excited about what God has done for us. The last week, the word was zamir. And we learned that one of the ways that we can and should be praising God is with music. Now, Pastor James explained that you can sing and you can make music to God in good times and in bad times with a variety of different methods. You can do it corporately as we do on Sunday mornings, or you can do it all by yourself. We were encouraged to make a joyful noise to the Lord. Even if you don't have a musical bone in your body, you can still lift your voice in song to the Lord. And this week's word is a little different. And as I was looking ahead at the next 3 weeks coming, I realized that this word sort of stands out from all of the words that we're studying in that it provides some of the purpose that drives our praise. It gives us a good reason to lift our hands in praise or to sing or to dance before the Lord. So I'm going to explain that a little bit more, but before I do, I'd like to pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for the sunshine outside. I thank you for the people that you have brought here to worship you this morning. I pray, Lord, that as we study your word, as we come before you with humble and open hearts, that you would speak to us, that your Holy Spirit would fill us, and that we would learn from you. Help us to praise you well this morning. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen. Now, I did a lot of studying in preparation for this sermon. It's never easy when you're jumping into the middle of someone else's sermon series, so I felt like I really needed to bone up. And I was really wanting to understand the word that we're going to study today. And that word is todah. And you can see it there up on the board. Now, depending on your Bible translation, you might see this word translated praise. But more likely, you might see it translated as another word. So you might see it as confession, referring to our confession of sin, but also the confession of God's greatness. You also might see the word todah translated as choir, as in like a choir of worshipers praising God together in song. But most often, this word todah is translated thanksgiving, or sacrifice of thanks, or thanks offering. And in fact, about three quarters of the times that Todah is translated in found in the Old Testament, it's translated as thanksgiving or something related to that. One interesting thing that I found as I was studying that is that this word Todah is actually related to Yada, which makes sense. They sound kind of similar. Yada, we talked about raising our hands, but it also means thanks as well. But the interesting thing is that yada is a verb, so it's an action word, and todah is a noun. So todah is the thing that we're giving to God. It became clear to me that todah doesn't describe a physical expression like we've been talking about. Doesn't talk about raising your hands or making music or dancing before the Lord necessarily. Todah is more about the heart of praise. It's more about praising God with an attitude of thanksgiving. Now, to gain a better understanding of how the psalmist uses this word, I think it's helpful to just look at some of the psalms where we find the word Todah and see what's going on in them. So the first that we're going to look at is Psalm 42. And in this psalm, the psalmist is crying out for God's presence and his help. He's remembering times in the past when he had offered praise and thanksgiving to the Lord. And in verse 4, he says, "My heart is breaking as I remember how it used to be. I walked among the crowds of worshipers, leading a great procession to the house of God, singing for joy and giving thanks, giving Todah." Amid the sound of a great celebration. He's remembering God's work. He's remembering the times past, and at the end of the psalm, he vows he's going to return to that place of praising God. He says, "Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God." So even though the psalmist is full of discouragement, he's still in the middle of his trials. He's remembering that God is good and he is worthy of praise and thanksgiving. And moving on, the inscription to the beginning of Psalm 56 says that this is a psalm of David written when the Philistines seized him in Gath. Now this inscription is referring to a situation that we can read about in 1 Samuel 21, 10 through 15. It tells of David fleeing from King Saul, who wanted to kill him. And he ends up going to Gath, which happens to be the hometown of Goliath, who David killed in battle. It's a Philistine city. And he gets there, and he realizes that maybe fleeing from one enemy into the lap of another might not be such a great idea. It's actually kind of stupid. And he hatches up this plan, and he ends up pretending to be crazy in front of all these people who are witnessing him. And the king says, "I don't want that around. Get him out of here." So he escapes. But in 1 Samuel 21, verse 12, says that David's hearing the talk of the king's advisors, and he becomes very afraid of what King Achish of Gath might do to him. Now, the psalm that David writes while he's in the middle of this experience is full of his fear. It's full of his concern about what might happen to him, but it's also full of expressions of David's trust in the Lord, his trust in God's protection and his promises. And twice in these 13 verses of this psalm, David says, "I praise God for what he has promised. I trust in God, so why should I be afraid? What can mere mortals do to me?" Then in verse 12, he says, "I will fulfill my vows to you, O God, and will offer a sacrifice of thanks, of Todah, for your help." David believes him, and he expects God is going to rescue him, and that his response to that belief of in his rescue is a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Now the next psalm that we're going to look at is Psalm 69. And David, again, is crying out to the Lord. He's begging for God to rescue him from his enemies. He's saying things like, "I sink into the mire. The floods overwhelm me. Rescue me," he cries out. "Save me." In verses 29 and 30, he says, But as for me, afflicted and in pain, may your salvation, God, protect me. I will praise God's name in song and glorify him with giving, with Todah. In verse 33, the psalmist remembers that the Lord hears the needy, and then he proceeds to offer up this praise that he had promised in verse 30. He says, let heaven and earth praise him, the seas and all that move in them, for God will save. He trusts that this is going to happen, and he worships. Psalm 95, the next psalm that we're going to look at here, is an expression of joy and gratitude. In the midst of the psalmist describing who God is, he says, let us come before him with thanksgiving, with Todah, and extol him with music and song. The psalmist is saying, give thanks and praise to God because he is great. And how do we know he's great? We look at what he's done. He saved us. He created this whole world. He treats us. He cares for us as a shepherd cares for his sheep. Psalm 100 is similar. It's another joyful song of grateful praise. And the psalmist is saying in verse 4, enter his gates with thanksgiving, Todah, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. And why should we be praising God and thanking him? Well, this psalm gives past, present, and future reasons. Past, it is he who made us. Present, we are his people. We're the sheep of his pasture. And future, for the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Moving on, the first two verses of Psalm 107 give a really good idea of what the entire psalm is all about. They say, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Has the Lord redeemed you? Then speak out. Tell others he has redeemed you from your enemies. This entire psalm is this catalog of these trials that the people of Israel have gone through over the years, and the way that God has taken them through and rescued them each and every time. There's this phrase that repeats throughout the psalm. Lord, help, they cried in their distress and trouble, and he rescued them from their distress. Throughout this psalm, the psalmist reminds the people to give thanks and praise to God for his loving and saving acts throughout history. Now finally, in this catalog of list of words, the use of the word Todah, we have Psalms 116 and 147. And these are both recitations of all the good things that the Lord has done in the past and in the present. And it's an encouragement for the people to respond to God with thanksgiving, with Todah. Now there's kind of a common thread that stands out, and I'm sure you picked up on it. All of these examples of the use of the word Todah show that whether the author is using in the middle of like a real hard time, a trial, a painful experience, or whether he's already been delivered from this, he's remembering. He gives thanks to God for who God is, for what he's done in the past. He remembers God's goodness, his mercy, his salvation. And that remembering of God's goodness and his character enables the psalmist to give thanks, regardless of what's happening in the moment. Because he knows that God is trustworthy. His promises are true. God's nature doesn't change, so we can be sure that he is always worthy of praise, and we can give thanks for his future goodness as well in whatever circumstance. Now, I don't want to just talk about how we used this in the Psalms. I want to give us some legs and feet so that we can understand how to use Todah in our own lives and how we can embrace this word. So, and I want to give you some examples also of when you can use Todah. But let's start with how. The first way that I think we can express this word todah has to do with the attitudes of our hearts. As we enter into praise to God, we have an attitude of todah. It takes place in conjunction with all these other words that we've studied so far. And you can see in these psalms that I share, if you look at the Hebrew, you can see these other words that we've been studying in the same scripture with todah. So a good example of this is in Psalm 100, verse 4. And in this one verse, there are four of the seven words that we're studying in this series, just in one verse. The verse says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving," that's todah, "and his courts with praise," that's tehillah. "Give thanks, yada, to him, and praise, barach, his name." You will have to come back for the rest of the series to learn about tehillah and barach. But the bottom line is that when you have a heart of thanksgiving, you lift your hands in praise, or you dance before the Lord, or you make music to the Lord, you are applying todah. You have that thanksgiving in your heart. Now, a second way of expressing todah can be both an attitude and an action, and it's with something called a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Now, don't get nervous. We're Christians. We do not live under the sacrificial system of the Israelites. Christ was the ultimate perfect sacrifice for our sins, and we do not have to toil under that system anymore. So I don't want you to get hung up on the word sacrifice. When we offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving, we're not slaughtering our prized bull or offering up our favorite two lambs. Instead, we're offering ourselves. A sacrifice of thanksgiving is a voluntary outpouring of love and gratitude, and it should be a joyful response to what God has done in your life. It's not something that comes out of obligation. It's a spontaneous response. A sacrifice of thanksgiving should also be shared among other people. In the scriptures, most of the sacrifices that you read about, they were either completely consumed by the fire for the Lord, or they were shared with the priests who were working in the temple. And these thank offerings, these sacrifices of thanksgiving that people would give, they were a little different. First, you would put your sacrifice in the altar, and the fire would consume some of it, and then the priest would share some of it, and then what was left over would be given back to the person who brought the sacrifice, to the worshiper, and he or she would take it back to their family and friends, and they would have a feast, and they would celebrate together this thanks offering that they were giving to the Lord. It was a community event, and it allowed everyone to participate with joy and thanks. And there's this Roman who lived during the first century B.C. named Marcus Tullius Cicero. And he's credited with saying, "Friendship improves happiness and abates misery by the doubling of our joy and the dividing of our grief." Sharing your thanksgiving increases everyone's joy. So when you're offering your sacrifice of thanksgiving to the Lord, it's appropriate to share it with others, to let other people know what's going on. As the psalmist says in Psalm 107:2, "Has the Lord redeemed you? Speak out. Tell others he has redeemed you from your enemies." Now, in addition to sharing with others, it's good to remember that a sacrifice of thanksgiving is usually something that is costly in some way. Now, it's not called a sacrifice for nothing. Now, this could be a monetary cost, maybe as an expression of your thankfulness to the Lord for how he's provided for your health. You donate money to an organization that does medical research, or you give to someone who's struggling to pay their medical bills. Or maybe as an expression of thanks for God's gift of salvation, you give a gift to a missions organization to help spread the good news to others. However, your sacrifice of thanksgiving doesn't necessarily have to be monetary. Maybe your sacrifice looks like faithfully giving of your time and your talents to some ministry. Or maybe it looks like unashamedly proclaiming your faith in the middle of a society that is increasingly hostile to Christians and to people who live out loud their faith. You're sharing who you are with others out of appreciation for what Christ has done in your life, in dying for your sins and transforming you into something new. Now, this kind of transparency can be costly, and it can be uncomfortable, but it also honors God for who he is and what he has done, and it invites other people to share in your joy and in your gratitude. But whatever your sacrifice of thanksgiving is, it should be voluntary, and it should invite other people to share with you in your thanksgiving. Now, I've given you a couple examples here of how to offer your todah, your sacrifice of thanksgiving. And now I want to talk about when you should do this. I'm going to give you four examples of when it's appropriate to praise God with thanksgiving. Now, the first example of when you should give todah praise kind of seems like the most obvious, right? It's the easiest, certainly, in my opinion. It's in times of remembering and rejoicing over who God is and what he's done in your life. Now, many of us do this when we celebrate the Thanksgiving holiday. We sit around with our friends and our family, and we talk about the way God has blessed us in the past year. And it's easy, and it's a natural time to be intentional about giving thanks. Now, in our house, we try to do this a little more often. We try and do it around the dinner table each night. It doesn't happen every night, but it happens most nights. Before we bless the meal, we each share one thing that took place in our day that we're thankful for. It's usually something small, you know, like maybe I had a good conversation with someone at work, or one of the kids got to spend time with one of their friends that day. Just something small that we're thankful about that we can share with the family. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above. And this little ritual that we have in our family is a reminder to us that everything good that we experience in our lives comes from God, and our response is to give thanks. As a way of practicing todah in your own life, I encourage you to come up with your own way of celebrating God on a more regular basis and not just saving it up for the yearly Thanksgiving feast. The second time that it's good to praise God with thanksgiving is in expectation of God's work still to come. This book that our sermon series that we're doing is based on, called Holy Roar, they give an example it's a good example of praising God with expectation. The author tells the story of a time when he visited a church in inner city Chicago. He's in a neighborhood that's plagued with gang violence and drugs, and he describes the worship that takes place in this church as the people wholeheartedly praised God for the things that they believed he would do in their neighborhood. They praised God with expectation. They praised him with thanksgiving for things that had yet to occur. They had such trust in the Lord's power and in his will to effect change in their neighborhood and in their city that they praised him as if that change had already occurred. Their praise was an example of todah praise. Maybe you haven't received the blessing yet that you're waiting and hoping for, but you have complete confidence that God has the power and the will to work in your life for good. As Romans 8:28 says, we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Trusting in the promises found in God's word, you can offer thankful praise for what is yet to come, however God sees fit to accomplish that in your life. The third time when it's important to give God todah praise is in times of trouble. And many of the examples that I shared with you from the book of Psalms, the psalmist is in the middle of a pretty bad situation. He's surrounded by enemies. He feels like he's drowning in the muck and the mire. He's feeling depressed and despairing. He's feeling forgotten and forlorn. is calling out for help. But despite these dire circumstances, or maybe because of them, the psalmist always comes back to praising God. Always comes back to giving thanks for what God has done in the past and how he continues to give comfort and love in the present, even in the midst of heartache. Times of suffering and anguish are probably some of the most difficult times to give thanks to God, to praise him, or offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving. However, it may be that very act of giving God thanks for the ways that he's blessed you in the past can lift your spirits. Noticing a beautiful flower or the comfort of a friend, even in the middle of your hard time, can help you move your focus from what's going wrong in your life to what is right, and that is God. Perhaps you are right now in the middle of your own time of despair. I want to encourage you, as hard as it may be, to try and find a way to be thankful, to lift your todah to the Lord, even if it's for the smallest thing. And then invite others into your sacrifice of thanksgiving so that they can share your gratitude and also carry some of the burden with you. So the fourth example of when it's good to offer todah praise is really, it's a combination of the first three examples, and it's always. In good times and bad, in times of expectation of good to come and times of remembering the good of the past, there's this phrase that's repeated throughout the entire scriptures, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever. Even if we can't come up with a single thing to feel thankful for in our own life, the simple truth is that we can give thanks to God for who he is. He is always good. He always loves us, and he is always deserving of our thankful praise. Ephesians 5, 19 and 20 says, sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Did you catch that? Always giving thanks for everything. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. The ultimate proof of God's everlasting love and goodness is Jesus, who died while we were still sinners so that we could be restored to relationship with him and be in community with him forever. That isn't a reason to lift todah praise to the Lord, then I don't know what is. Todah is a special word in our series on the praise words of the Psalms. It gets to the heart of why we praise God. And as you go forward this week, whatever your circumstances, I want to encourage you to find ways to offer up your thankful praise to God. You can even go a little crazy. Combine your todah praise with your upraised hands, or your dancing before the Lord, or the joyful noise that you lift up to God. Let todah be the thing that inspires you to praise. I'm going to pray now for our offering, and I just want you to take a moment and think about one thing that you can give thanks for this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we do give thanks for who you are, for the gift of Jesus, your life on the cross that you gave for us so that we could live with you. Lord, thank you for being here with us and providing for us so well. Give us the opportunity, Lord, to give back to you with our gifts of our offering, Lord. And we ask that you would take it, that you would increase it, that you would bless it, and that you would use it for your kingdom. Be with us today as we go forward. And be reminding us, Father, of all the ways that you have been good to us and all the ways that you are good, and help us to lift our praise and our thanks to you. In Jesus' name I pray.